right, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to our Bible study this wonderful evening. Hope and pray everybody's doing well out there in internet land. And truly, truly, we're blessed to have another opportunity to come bring forth God's word. Hope you had an awesome day today, an awesome start of your week. Amen. And truly, it's another great week to be alive, to know the Lord, and to serve the Lord. And we're grateful to, again, be back to be able to preach and teach the word of God. And so we encourage you to invite somebody in and let them come get a part of this blessing. Come get a part of this, the goodness of God, and come get a part of tonight's lesson that we'll be covering this evening. We was going to be covering Psalm 51, which is a very familiar psalm. And it really covers really seeking the Lord, seeking forgiveness, seeking really just a right relationship with God. And really, that's where all men desire should be, is to be in a good standing with God. And this is an awesome scripture written by the King David, and it really teaches us to how to pray and seek the Lord's face, even when something is wrong or when we do something wrong, to seek the Lord's face. So Psalm 51 is an awesome book to cover this day. We will look at it here. Pick it up if you have your Bibles there. We can put it on the screen for you. Psalm 51 is, and it was really a psalm that when David had committed adultery. David had committed adultery and really, really had broken off his close relationship that he had with God. Again, sin is a separator, as we said before. Sin is a separator. It is a transgression of the law, and it really brings death in many cases, meaning that there's something that displeases the Lord, and there's a cutoff there. And so naturally, he teaches us here that if you do commit sin, if you have committed a sin, it's not too late. You can always repent and turn to God. And it's not meant to continue in it, but to change truly, and what the word repentance means, to change and turn from our wicked way that we have perhaps to have done, make things right before the Lord, and get back to God. And so oftentimes the enemy will have you stay where you are. Again, he would love for you. Some feel like, well, I messed up, preacher. I messed up. I can't come back to God. I messed up. I'm too ashamed. And really here, David is wide open, and he's not ashamed to come crawling back to God, if you please. If you want to look at it that way, he's not ashamed to really call back on God in a time of trouble. And really, that's why the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And it really showed that, because he was a true man of God, because he was willing to admit his wrong. He was willing to face his wrong. He was willing to get it right again. And so really, that's the key, is to get it right again before you die. Get it right before things are too late. So we're thankful tonight for this psalm here. And so we learn from this. We learn from it. We can grow from it and receive from it. So let's look at Psalm 51 this evening. The Bible says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression." And so naturally, when he confronted his sin, he had to repent of it. He had to admit to it, confess it. And so he said, "Lord, have mercy." He was seeking the Lord's mercy, the Lord's grace and his mercy, and really that unmerited favor. Let me get my microphone here together. That unmerited favor, that unmerited thing that we so are not deserving of. He was asking God for mercy upon him. Have mercy, Lord. And really, we all seek God's mercy. We seek his face. If it wasn't for his mercy, where would we, any of us, be? And God gives us the opportunity to make things right through salvation, through the born-again experience. And not only that, but even along the way. We share with you again not to live in habitual sin. The Bible says that's not what God's plan is. But he says we have an advocate with our Heavenly Father, if you do, through Jesus Christ. And so he was coming to the Lord and says, "You know what? Forgive me. Forgive me of my sins." He said, "Blot out my transgression. Take it off the record." Sing a song the other day about my record's clear today because he washed my sins away. So he's saying, "Lord, please erase this from my sins. Erase this. Please take it away. Blot it out. Blot out my sin. Please take away this stain. Wash me clean," is what he was saying. Again, so there it is, verse 2. He says that same thing. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, from my wrongdoing, from the thing in which I've transgressed against thee, this sinful and wicked thing that I've done. He says, and cleanse me from my sin. So God, please wash me. And that's when you when one asks for forgiveness, you not to go back into it again. It's to wash it and get it out of your heart. Wash it and repent of it. Wash it and say, you know, let me walk away from it. I'm not going back to it again. That's what true repentance is. We share with you many times, not to repeat, but to repent. Again, in other words, I'm not going back to that again. I'm not doing that again. I'm not going back to the way that I used to be. And so a clean heart, a pure heart, a new mind, a renewing of the mind. So the scripture talks about in the New Testament, the renewing of the mind. And so I am asking God to cleanse me and wash me thoroughly. I want to be born again, and to redo it in my heart and my soul. And so when you make that your prayer, the born again experience, initially, that's what God does. And the desire to want to do these things, the desire to want to displease God, leaves us. And so you want to now please the Lord, to please the Lord in our ways. And so even in that, is asking God to forgive him along the way and cleanse him from his sins. The Bible says, for I acknowledge my transgression. There it is again. My sin is ever before me. And so he couldn't run from it. And oftentimes, again, man tries to run from it. Man runs from it and hides from it. That's the worst thing mankind can do. The worst thing we could do is run and hide from a sin. You know what? You pray through. You say, God, forgive me of it. And so naturally you say he acknowledges it. And when he prayed, when the sinner prayer, really, we call it the sinner prayer, even and pray for salvation itself. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've sinned. God, I've come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, scripture tells us, and come short of the glory of God. So he tells us here to acknowledge him. Acknowledge it. And if we run around saying, I'm good, really, we walk around our own righteousness, our own self-righteousness. And so we must have come to that conclusion that, you know, I'm lost without God. I need a savior. And that's really what David was showing us here. He said, I acknowledge this thing. I am wrong. That's what he was saying. I am wrong. I've done wrong. But this particular case, he committed adultery. He acknowledged him and he faced his wrong. The Bible says, and my sin is ever before me. He couldn't run from it. He couldn't run from it. It was an ugly, ugly situation. Not only did he commit adultery, but he had the man's wife, the man whose wife he cheated on. Uriah, he had that man killed because the woman was pregnant. It was a real, real ugly time in David's life. And so he instructed the man to be killed in battle and tried to try to cover up and do a quick shotgun wedding to make it seem like all was capiche, but it really wasn't. Again, and so so now he had the blood of this man on his hands because he had the man killed. And because he didn't like physically do it, but he put him in the hottest of battle there and put him in his life in danger. And so naturally, again, it was so that guilt him as well. And so the failure to sin will take you where you want to go. Old pastor say that sin will take you farther than you want to go, is what he used to say. It will take you farther than you want to go, and it will take you deeper and deeper into a hole. And many times, you need to stop, put your foot on the brake, say, hey, let me get out of this mess. Let me get out of this. And naturally, because it will make things worse in your life. And so that's what was really going on before him. He says, this thing's before me. I can't run from it. I can't hide from it. I've got to address it and make it right. The Bible says in verse 4, against thee, I only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He says, thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, be clear when thou judgest. So he understood God is judge. God is judge. And he had to make things right. The Bible says, number 5, behold, I was shaping iniquity and sinned, and my mother conceived me. And so we really, you think about it, we were born wrong. We were born wrong. If you look at it, that's why we say we must be born again. Jesus told us that we must be born again because we were all born. We're not taught to the curse and the lie and the cheat and the steal. Again, it comes natural. Naturally, we're liars and we're cheaters. Only when we're first born, naturally, bad behavior and all these different things that come before we get saved. And so he says, we were born this way. We were born corrupt because we were of a corrupted seed. And so we need the seed of Christ living in us. And so that's why he said, I was born in shaping iniquity. Shaping in iniquity. And naturally, you could try to you could put your person in the best atmosphere possible. As a child, they still need to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be born again, to really take care of that sin nature that we were all born in. And so the Bible says that my mother out there, she can see me this way. And the Bible says, number six, he said, behold, thy desire is truth in the inward parts, the hidden part that thou shalt make to know wisdom. And so he was saying, you know, I was born wrong. I was born corrupted. And now it was really his heart. God is after the heart. If God can get to the heart of man, to change the heart of man, the desires of man, the desires and to the core, if he can change his core being, which is the heart, and naturally a changing of the heart, changing of the mentality, the renewing of the mind, is what scripture says. And so you'll be transformed by that. Born again, a new creature in Christ. Old things will be passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's another scripture that refers to that as. And so, again, the inward part, the inward man, the inward being is changed. And God is after that heart of man. He said, the outside of the cup will come clean later on. He said, let me get the inside of that cup clean first. The inside, the heart of man. And really, that's what changes first. And the rest will come into play. And so the hidden things from God, don't hide anything from God. God, take all of me. Take all of me. Amen. Everything in your heart and your soul and your mind. Again, God, I surrender all. I was hoping she'd sing this on this weekend. I surrender all. Old hymn. I surrender all to Jesus. All I surrender. And so the hidden parts, the secret parts that we only us know about, between us and God. We can hide it from everybody else. But you know what? We cannot hide it from God. And even in those things. Things done in secret, things done again when things nobody else is looking. Perhaps that's what David thought. Thought nobody else would catch him. Nobody else would see the act, but God saw. And you know what? In our lives, the same thing. We cannot hide anything from God. Come clean, totally. It's the best way to live, a clean conscience, a clean mind, a clean heart. And truly, it will bless you along the way. Number 80 says, make me to hear, excuse me, number seven. Number seven, purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop. And so natural is the cleansing, cleansing. He says, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Again, with hyssop is a rushy aromatic plant from the mint family. Again, it was there really to for medicinal purposes, a herb, naturally medicinal purposes of various things to clean, the cleansing, and really an internal cleansing. An internal cleansing, what he was saying, cleanse me, make me whole, wash me internally, wash the insides of my soul, wash the outside of I need the inside cleaned up. And so I want to be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, in other words, clean and pure. Something about the color white is pure, is clean. Again, and so it represents that. And naturally, again, that's what God is looking for in the heart. He's able to wash us white as snow. That's what his blood does. Scripture says what Isaiah says, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. He can make them white as snow. If you look at it, again, that's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. You can even look at that. Isaiah 1:18, load it for a second. The blood of Jesus Christ does that. We sing a song sometimes, he makes the vilest of sinners clean. And I know, but Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinners clean. There it is. Psalm 118.
Psalms.
I'm sorry, Isaiah 1:18. We can look at. Let me know where you got it. And really, this is Isaiah, the prophet, was even telling Israel to come clean. Come clean. He says, come now, let us reason together. He says, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, in other words, scarlet, red, and darkened, he says, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. And actually, wool is what? It's a whitish color. It's clean. It's different. It's totally different from the scarlet red. And so that's what he was saying. And so I just want to give you that. But back to the verse. No. Verse 7. He says, they should be whiter than snow. For Psalm 51, 7 tells us, purge me, hyssop, and it shall be white as snow. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Number 8, he says, make me to hear the joy and gladness. And so naturally, when one is clean, you get up with a new heart, a new spirit, new you. Amen. Think about when he first got saved, again, the joy of being lifted, the heaviness being lifted, the guilt and the shame washed away. You're a new man, a new woman. You're born again. You're happy. You're excited. And so he says, David missed that. He missed the joy of the Lord. That walking with God, can you imagine how Adam felt the same thing? He missed the joy of walking with God, the joy of serving God, the joy and the relationship that he had with God. It was a joy, but because of sin, there was a brokenness there. There was some guilt and shame. And so he said, I want to hear that joy again. And naturally, the enemy and sin, really, your conscience and the Holy Spirit will bring us under conviction. Should bring you under conviction the way you feel that way. And really thank God for the Holy Spirit. It corrects us and sharpens us and tells us to pray things through and get things right before the Lord, to make sure that we can have joy in the Lord, that we can, praise him and worship him and have joy in your soul, joy in your spirit and gladness. The Bible says that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And so that brokenness can now be healed. The brokenness and the pain and the sting of sin can be healed. Thank God for God. And so this psalm is teaching us to get to God, find healing in the soul, find healing in that brokenness. There's beauty in the brokenness that God is able to come back and reunite it and fix that which had been separated from, that joy that was once no longer now can come back again. Number 90 says, hide thy face from my sins, blot out all my iniquity. So again, he's asking the prayer of repentance. He's asking, so Lord, forgive me of my sin. And so naturally, again, this is important. This is important prayer, important song. Because again, you don't want that thing lingering over your head. But again, the enemy will have us linger, live our whole lives with sin lingering over our heads. He's asking God, blot this out. He hated the fact that he was separated from Almighty God. Remember when Jesus died on the cross? Jesus had never, ever, ever experienced that separation until he took on the sting of sin. And when he took it on, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had never, ever, ever really felt separated from his Heavenly Father outside of, being there on earth. But he had a communication line in prayer. He had a walking and talking relationship with his Heavenly Father. But when he took on the sins of the world, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced the separation of sin, the separation of what sin felt like. The heaviness and the load. Imagine it was there for a short time, but can you imagine what it felt like for Jesus to feel that? And so he cried it out on the cross, and so he felt the brokenness that mankind feels before we come to Christ. Let's look at some more. So he says, create in me. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all my iniquity. Number 10, create in me a clean heart, oh God. So he's saying, God created me. David said, create in me a clean heart. Cleanse my heart and renew a right spirit within me. Give me a right attitude, a right thought pattern. And so when you start looking at sin in the right way, say, you know what? I don't want no part of it. God help me to despise it. So certain scriptures talk about how various people in the Word of God eschewed evil. Noah was a man who eschewed evil. They strongly despised him. I believe Job was saying way he hated evil. Why? Because he knew how it corrupted, how it tainted the life, how it disrupted the presence of the Lord. It disrupted the things of God. And so he says, renew in me a right spirit. And so when we look at sin the way it is, we realize that, hey, I don't want no parts of that because it will destroy what God is trying to do. It will destroy my blessing. It destroys my relationship. It destroys that walk that I have with God. It separates me from pleasing the Lord. So to have a right spirit, you despise it. You despise it. And say, you know what, God, I just want to do what's right before you. And that's what really the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Ghost does that. The Holy Ghost will help us to be sensitive to his voice and to the Spirit of God, where we despise evil. We despise doing what's not pleasing to the Lord. Amen. And really, really say no, be able to say no and withstand temptation. You have to want to do it as well. You have to want to do it. When you want to do it, God will put that spirit in you. You feel with this Holy Spirit that we need. And when you want to do it, you want as close to God as possible. That's why we encourage you to get filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is that right spirit, the right attitude, the right mindset, to where you don't even want to justify sin. You won't even want to say, you know, I want no part of it in my life. And so let that be our prayer tonight, our right spirit, the right mindset, the right attitude, so we can serve God victoriously. Let's go to number 11. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. And so now he's wanting, he's missing it. He's desiring, says, Lord, I want to feel your presence. I don't want to run from your presence. I need you, God. And so now he knew and felt and experienced the brokenness, the loneliness of not having God by his side. He needed God. He needed God all the days of his life. He experienced the power of God all the days of his life. He experienced the hand of God upon his life all this time. And now he was really, really feeling the penalty of sin. And so he says today, restore unto me. Restore, cast me not away, cast me not away. But God, bring me back to you. Bring me back again to you. Bring me back. I want to get in your presence. Now, your presence is fullness of joy. Your presence is protection. Your presence, God, is joy. In your presence, Lord, there's happiness and peace that passes all understanding. So he said, don't cast me away. And naturally, the Lord does not want to throw us away, but he wants us to draw us in and bring us in. And so naturally, he wanted this in his life. Number 12 says, restoring to me the joy of salvation. There's a joy in salvation. It is a blessing to be saved. You look back and say, my God, where would I be without God? There is a joy. Is every day a happy, happy, walking around, bubbly all the time? I would say for the most part, we endeavor to do that. There's times, no doubt, there will be hills and valleys within it. But as you go through it, we learn to enjoy the salvation of the Lord. We learn to find peace and happiness in that. And I always reflect back on, if everything else goes wrong in your life, if the sky's falling, focus on the joy of the salvation. Things do happen in life, but you know what? We have the joy of salvation. We have salvation. And really, really, that's the key to it all, to being saved, living for Christ. Again, hold on to that. Cherish it. Let it always be a part of your life tonight. The Bible says, uphold me in thy free spirit. Uphold me in thy free spirit. And so we thank God for his Holy Spirit. We thank God for his love. We thank God for his direction. So he wanted to walk in the spirit and in the direction of Almighty God. Number 13, he says, then will I teach transgressor their ways, thy ways, and the sinner shall be converted. And so even in that, he said, you know what? I want to make sure I'm right before I try to teach others to be right. He said, I want to set the example. I want to set the example. And really, as a pastor, as a minister, that should be our desire. That's the way it should be. How can I teach you if I'm not willing to live this life myself? And so he said, I want to teach others as well. Some people say, oh, there's hypocrites, pastors are hypocrites, and this, that, and the other. You know what? And we oftentimes say, you know what? Not every pastor is a hypocrite. Not everyone is a hypocrite. Not every Christian is a hypocrite. Not everyone in the name of Christ is a hypocrite. And we pray that, again, if you are living a hypocritical life, make it right. That's what the psalm says here. Let's make it right. So we teach others the way, show others the way, be an example to others along the way. To teach the transgressors, hey, you can live a victorious life. Hey, you can live a life. People will constantly watch your life. They're going to watch your life. As you come to Christ, they're going to observe you and see how true you are. Will you eventually give in to temptation? Will you eventually, how do you respond when things are turmoil at work, or when things are upside down? How do you respond when things are upside down in your life? Will you praise God anyhow? Do you curse every now and then? Do you slip off and have a couple of sips every now and then with the boys? Are you real about it? Are you real about your Christian walk? Amen. And so naturally people will watch. They will see, hey, that's a real Christian right there. He's a real, she's a real believer in Christ. And naturally, again, you can't please everybody. Somebody's going to find fault with you one way or the other. People are going to always find fault with you. Can't run from it. But you know what? In your heart and your soul, endeavor to live a life, a clean life, a pure heart before the Lord and before others as well. Amen. Let's go. The Bible says in verse 14, deliver me from the blood guiltiness. And so even in that, he was referred to before by how he put a man in the heated, hottest battle to have this man killed to where it could cover up the deed that was done and the pregnancy had been created. And so he wanted to take the woman's father, the woman's husband out. Excuse me. He wanted to take him out to where it would appear like he got married to her and she got pregnant right away. That's what he was trying to do. And so blood guiltiness, blood is on my hands. The deed is done. So now you're guilty, the guilt of sin and shame, the guilt of it all. The Bible says, oh God, thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So again, he's asking God, forgive me. And sometimes people can't forgive themselves as well. A lot of times people struggle with coming to Christ or coming to church or coming to know the Lord. They can't forgive themselves. I feel like they've done so much wrong. Preacher, I'm deserving of hell. Nobody. God does not want anyone to come to go to hell. He's given men and women from all walks of life an opportunity to make things right. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, God doesn't love you. He does. God doesn't care for me. He does. God can't forgive you. Yes, he will. You've done too much wrong. No. Oh, yeah. The love of Christ, the love of Jesus Christ is willing to reach down wherever you may be, and forgive you. The devil will lie to you and say, oh, you cannot be forgiven. You cannot make things right. And the key is getting true repentance of it. Turning away from it. Say, I'm not going back to this again. And that's you sometime along that way. If you feel that struggle for conviction, praying for those that perhaps, or even talking with those. You don't have to go around confessing to everybody. Again, what you did way back when, and say, you know what, get on the phone and call up my old classmates. I'll call up everybody from back in the day and say, you know what, forgive me. And if the Lord leads you that way, do it. Do it. But you know what? All is forgiven with God. All is forgiven with God. And so we look at this. The blood guiltiness, thou, O God, of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So again, he's telling us. He says, God, let me make this right. Let me make this right, Lord. Let me get this right so I can sing aloud again. So I can sing praises. So I can rejoice. So I can lift up my hands and praise the Lord and give glory to God. Amen. And so, again, let the blood of Jesus Christ wash and cleanse you, make you whole. He washes, he makes the vilest of sinners clean. Again, that's the power of the blood today. Don't deny the power of the blood. Let the blood work. Let the power of repentance work. The power of God's love work in your life. Let's go. 15, he says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. And thou delightest not burnt offerings. And so naturally, he said, I can't do anything. These bulls and these sheep, or these lambs that I slaughtered, that are slaughtered for my sins. He says, it can only do so much. And so naturally, it has to be a changing on the inside. We can try to go around being a nice boy, a nice girl, but if that heart is not changed, if the inside is not changed, again, God is saying, he says, no, he wants to see the heart. We can put on a good outward show. We can put on a good outward front. But if the heart isn't changed, if the heart is not repentant, if the heart says, you know what, I'm wrong. If he would have went around and said, you know, I went through the whole motions of, oh, forgive me, this, that, and the other, and before various ones and made things right. But if the heart wasn't changed, again, he would have just been going through the motions. So God sees beyond all of that, all the phonies, all the facade. Again, we can do things in front of man, but God knows the heart, is what he was saying. He says, so my burnt offerings, the lamb and all the sacrifice, all the rituals that I could do to go through the practices of asking for forgiveness. He said, I have to show it, and really from my heart. Today, number 17 says, the sacrifices of God are broken. 17, the sacrifices of God broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou would not despise. So he says, you know, so true God sees the heart of remorse, the heart of repentance, the heart of regret. And naturally, that's what God is looking for. God, I'm so wrong. Sometimes you think back over your life, knowing you already been forgiven. But like I say, go back in the day sometime. Something will come across your mind that you did way back in middle school, somewhere, elementary school, wherever, high school, college, wherever it may be, wherever in the past. And you know what? I've already been born again. You already been forgiven. But something just hit you, say, my God, I was such a knucklehead. I was such a I was such a wrong. That was such a wrong thing that I did. And you know what? And we see this, how that God, through the broken spirit, because of conviction now, it really, really convicts you, and it really, really makes you feel bad. And back to what I said, thank God for the born-again experience. But even in that, you know, we learn from it, and now there's a conviction there. When there's no conviction about sin, you have not been born again. When there's no conviction, no radar that goes up and says, you know what, this don't feel right. And there's no radar that says, you know what, I need to pray that through. I need to make this right. Again today, so we must listen to the spiritual radars and say, you know what, God is looking for that broken spirit, the one that says, you know what, a contrite heart, a true heart after God. And that's what David was. He was a man after God. Lord, he says, God, I don't like this brokenness. I don't like this separation. I don't like where I am. Let me make this right. Let's move on. The Bible says, do good in thy good. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. He says, number 19, and thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifice of the righteous, with burnt offerings and the whole burnt offerings. And then shalt thou offer bullocks upon the altar. And so he says, really, it starts in the heart. And then, you know, you go through the rest. Again, these things that God had commanded them to do in the Old Testament, but it was really, really in the heart. Because again, it can become a ritual. It can become a facade, really. Every so often, every couple times a year, they had to go down and go through these holy days and all these different things, the rituals that they had grew up and learned from Moses. But you know what? It was just going through the motions. It wasn't really true. It wasn't really real. And so naturally, he says, you know what? Those were foreshadows of things to come. The lambs being slain was a foreshadow of things to come. That blood guiltiness being cleansed was a shadow of things to come. We celebrate here coming up real soon. These things that they had to do to pray and get receive forgiveness and receive cleansing or whatever the case may be. But this was a permanent thing. As you read, he was talking about the spirit. God, I don't want to continue in this lifestyle. God, I want it to be in my heart. And you know what? Let there be in your soul, in your heart, to where you say, you know, I want a clean spirit, a clean heart, a pure heart before the Lord. So when I lay down at night, I have a pure conscience. When I go throughout my day, I have a pure conscience before the Lord. And amen, that's what he was saying here. God renewing me, a right spirit. So Psalm 51 is an awesome book. To where David didn't hide anything from God. He didn't hide anything, and really he didn't hide anything from us. He didn't hide anything from us as well, the reader. And so you see this, like how that we open before the Lord, laying it all out, because he wanted a closer relationship with God. And brothers and sisters, each of us, let that be our desire. Our desire to say, you know what, I want a clean and open relationship with you, God. I want to be as close as walk with you. I want to walk with you as at what your son Jesus, and through him is made possible. We're able to walk with the Lord. We're able to walk with our God up in heaven because of Jesus, the sacrifice, him being that one is able to cleanse and wash whole and make us whole. The blood of his sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his cleansing power was able to make us whole. And not only that, but it now lives on the inside. He lives on the inside. He's able to keep you and walk with you and help you. And the Holy Ghost is there to guide us and lead us and strengthen us to overcome, and your desires will now change to where you want to please the Lord.
instead of pleasing our flesh, pleasing the things that are doing things that are displeasing unto God. And so let that be our prayer. Let that be our prayer. A clean heart, a pure heart before the Lord. Amen. And you'll live a happy life. The joy, you'll have a joy and peace in your life. You have joy that you always yearn for. I remember I came to Christ. I was so happy because, again, that was something like, this is what I've been missing all my life. This is what I had been missing all my soul, all the days of my life. I now found it in Jesus. And really, he was trying to recapture that relationship that he had. Even though it was the Old Testament, there was a sense of closeness there. There was a relationship there. Even before the blood, before Christ came, he had a close relationship with God. And the ebbs and flows of his life showed us. Again, and thank God for this psalm. Thank God for the book of Psalms, because it shows us how to pray through, how to get things right. How it's not too late. It's only too late when you take your last breath and you prepare to repent. My friend today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to save you. Ask him to cleanse you. Make it all right. Make things right. Make things right. Don't let sin hang over your head. Because God wants that relationship with us. He wants that walk with us. And let that be your prayer as well. The way I can have a walk and a talk with God. And no doubt today he's willing and faithful and just to forgive anything that we've ever done. Amen. God bless our prayer. We look forward to seeing you in person Thursday night, 7:30. Come on out, be with us, 334 Ashford Street. Come out, be with us, 334 Ashford Street, this Thursday evening at 7:30. Be the will of the Lord. We'll be there. Come, let's come rejoice and praise God. And, amen. And seek the Lord's face. And we're looking forward to some great things this Thursday evening. God bless our prayer. We'll see you soon.